What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater here, the club CEO, and we have another amazing DJ on the My DJ Story podcast. I want you to introduce you, my guests. Can you please tell the people where you're from and who you are?
How you doing? My name's Dave Solos. I'm from the East Coast of Canada, Halifax, Nova Scotia. I've been a DJ for 35 years.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. We're super happy to have you on the My DJ Story podcast. You are the first Canadian that we have on the podcast. So thank you for being the first in the country of Canada to participate.
Go Canada.
Oh yeah, man.
We got lots of Canada. We got lots of DJs up here.
I've been to Canada a few times. Definitely great country. I love it. Especially, you know, when it's not too cold, you know, it gets, it gets really cold up there, but I've been really happy every time I've went. So let's get right started into this interview, man. Now, you've been a DJ for 35 years. So tell me about, you know, how you got started, at what age did you get started, and tell me a little bit about just your entry into the industry.
I was always into music. I was always, as a kid, I used to make mixtapes on double cassette ghetto blasters when I was a kid, and then rock a boombox all everywhere I went. That's how everybody knew me. When I was 16, I started an underage nightclub for kids spinning 45s. I had no idea what I was doing. A guy came up to me and he said, "Would you like to really learn how to do this?" And for the next 4 or 5 years, that's what I did. I really learned how to do it. I went out and learned how to do schools, lighting, everything, all the behind the scenes stuff. And those are the things that made me, you know, good today. I look at the things that other kids did, you know, in their teen years back then, and I'm kind of gracious, you know, grateful that I spent my 2 o'clock in the mornings learning how to build speakers and do wiring and, you know, all that kind of stuff, because it pays dividends even now, you know.
Wow, that's amazing, man. And that's not the average story of a teenager, like in terms of, you know, your drive and your motivation to be able to spend time learning how to do some of these things that are technical and not easy to do, man. So like, where would you say that you got that motivation? Like, what prompted you to kind of take this route and do things that, you know, the typical teenager doesn't go out and just start?
Well, I think it was kind of a melting pot of things. My parents have split. I was a young kid, you know, in the neighborhood that, you know, everybody else is running around in the neighborhood and doing stupid stuff. And I didn't want to do that. And my love of music actually is what brought me to it. I just loved music from an early age. You know, my mom had an 8-track combination record player, and every time she'd go to work in the morning, I know my neighbors hated me because I'd be scratching LL Cool J first thing in the morning at 8 o'clock every morning before school.
Nice.
you know what I mean? So I'm sure they loved me.
Oh man, that's super exciting. So before school, you even get up and start DJing. Like, that is...
Well, crazy. Yeah, that's as a young kid. Now, I wasn't really DJing then. I was wanting to be a DJ. I was seeing guys like all the guys, Grandmaster Flash, and, you know, hearing all these stories about all these DJs and stuff like that. And they were changing the whole... At that time, in 86, it was just... The DJ thing was just changing from being playing records on turntables to becoming an actual instrument. You know,
awesome.
You know,
man.
No, it was actually a tool where you could actually talk to the people.
Yeah, no, I've been doing a number of these interviews, and the common theme among all of the DJs I speak to is just how much they're dedicated to the craft of DJing. It's not something that they just do. It's something that takes a lot of skill and a lot of dedication to become really good at it. So tell me about your progressing. Like, how did you just start and immediately were really good, or kind of took a lot of time to really hone your skills and become a good DJ?
Well, I grew up poor, so I didn't have access to, you know, Technics 1200s and mixers and all that kind of stuff. Now, as I said, when I was 16, I got to use gear, but it wasn't like remixing gear. It was going out and playing weddings and banquets and parties and that kind of thing, and learning how to rock a crowd and that kind of thing. And back then it was, you know, like it was, I started with a record player and a tape player and then progressed to CD tapes and then CDs. And then, so when, you know, when the first kind of double deck CDs came out, I'm very thankful for this too. I learned how to beat mix without effects, without all the little tricks and all the little, I learned how to just beat mix and just song for song, drop a beat on a beat. And that's how I learned. And wow. I just got better, you know?
Wow.
Oh man, it does. But you are very right. It takes a lot of skill, a lot of time and a lot of determination.
That's amazing, man. And your drive and your passion for the skill, it's kind of what, you know, allows you to make it so far, because a lot of people just give up. You know, when they do something hard, if they don't really love it, they just give up. Yeah. And that's the difference between what someone, you know, that you know, thinks it's a cool thing versus someone that really is in love with it and chooses to go down that career path. And that's something that you've done. Like, at what point were you able to kind of transition from the mindset that, oh, this is something I like to do as a hobby, to something that you want to do, you know, professionally?
Well, actually, believe it or not, like I said, I started when I was 16. At 18, here in Canada, you're legally allowed in the bars at 19. I was DJing clubs when I was 18 already professionally. So I held a regular 9-to-5 job. I would go out and work hard all week, and then I would go and work Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, loading shows and taking them out, and then go. I got to do some amazing things as a teenager, some really, like, in front of 3,000 people, you know, at 18, 19, that other people don't get to do. That's what gave me the love for it. You rock a crowd like that, man, there's nothing like it. You know, like, there's just nothing like it. So, yeah, picking it up as, hey, that's a, you know, now it's cool to be a DJ. Well, I was a DJ before DJing was cool, right? You know?
Yeah, man. No, that's so awesome, man. I just can't imagine just how at the age of 18, you know, in front of 3,000 plus people, like, was it ever scary? Was it ever something that you just, you know, were just uncertain about, you know, how you ever manage that kind of crowd?
You know what? I have to give props, man. I had a really, really, really good teacher, man. And that was another thing. Like, he was more of a father figure to me for 7-8 years while we did this together. You know, like, I helped him. He was just a guy and his wife, and he had a DJ business, and I just kind of became his right hand guy. And he taught me so much, and I didn't realize it at the time, all the stuff that he was actually teaching me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, building subwoofer cabinets and how to make them soundproof and, you know, how to put sets together for music to get the most out of your dance floor, you know, like, things like that. That's, you know, like, those things are, believe it or not, I still use the same first three songs for a wedding every time I go play to this day.
Wow. what yeah, three songs are
that,
they?
He taught me.
If you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, The Walk of Life by the Dire Straits. Our Canadian band, the Rankin Family, called Feel the Same Way Too. And I usually play Center Field by John Fogerty.
Awesome, man. That's so awesome, man. It's amazing that, you know, you were able to find a mentor, someone that can teach you and show you the ropes, because doing it on your own is so difficult, because you're going to be learning from trial and error as opposed to having someone guide you the way and make that pathway to success much easier. And how did you meet this mentor? How did that relationship develop?
Well, like I said, the guy that was working with him, that was doing the school shows, was the guy that found me in the club spinning 45. So he was kind of, at that time in the mid 80s, lip syncing was really popular, you know, putting on a Ritz and all that stuff. So they were actually doing, like, they'd go into schools and do, like, a lip syncing routine with lighting and the whole nine yards. So I started by doing lighting, learning lighting and cues and, you know, like, when the guy's over here and this and that, and that's kind of how it started. And then all of a sudden, one day, that guy didn't show up, and then it was on me. I already knew all the stuff, so it was just kind of a natural fit.
Nice. So the opportunity presented itself, and you were just ready for the call. You just took the opportunity and ran with it. And that kind of got you, you know, more opportunities after you were able to prove yourself successful with the one that was presented to you. So that's, like, an important kind of lesson for people, that you have to position yourself to be ready for opportunity to come your way. You know, some people call that luck, but yeah. you prepared yourself yeah. to capitalize when the luck happens. And that's what most people have to really prepare for.
Absolutely. What he taught me most, though, was a different style of music, all the different styles of music. I was a breakdancing kid, you know, that's what I did. I loved hip hop, you know, I was Eric B. and Rakim, Rapper's Delight, that kind of stuff. And he showed me old soul, Motown, Parliament, Funkadelic, Fantastic Voyage, all that stuff, man. And I used to just sit in there at 2 o'clock in the morning after doing gigs and just put records on and listen to them. You know what I mean? And so that's, I will say this, the biggest mistake guys can make today is pigeonholing yourself into one style of music. Learn mm-hmm. all styles of music. Learn mm-hmm. all. I love hip hop, but man, I gotta, my head bops if I hear P-Funk, old soul, rock and roll, country, you know, I like it all.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, as an entertainer to diversify your talents and diversify the amount of, you know, content or music that you can play. You know, you never know what audience you're going to be in front of. So you got to be able to do it, you know, at least do a couple of things. You have to have a couple of tricks up your sleeve, you know, or you're going to get caught without the ability to kind of, you know, cater to that crowd. Especially depending on the kind of work you do as a DJ, because, you know, DJs can go in so many different lanes. They can be a club DJ, they can be a wedding DJ, they can be a cruise ship DJ. There's just so many different avenues to take your DJ career. What's the lane that you decide to take?
Well, that's one of the great things about having all the cross genres of music. I could go into a club, I could play club, I could go play a wedding, I could go do a 50th wedding anniversary. I could do so many different things because I knew so much music. At 20 years old, I went and did a 50th wedding anniversary, and I walked in and I had long hair down the middle of my back, and I could hear, I had to walk through the whole crowd when I walked in, and I could hear a collective gasp kind of when I walked in, like, oh goodness, what is he gonna play? And when I left, the bride came up and hugged me. It was kind of a good feeling at 20 years old. She couldn't believe that I could put Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree and all that stuff and keep it in era. Now, mind you, at 20 years old, I did a lot of research for that back then, because it wasn't like today that where you have the internet, you can just go look up songs from that era. I had to go actually go digging through crates and, you know, actually look up songs and stuff like that. So
wow, but, it took a lot of prep work, but it seems like, you know, the bride was super impressed, and that the work that you put into preparing for her event really paid off.
It makes it worthwhile. You know, that's what makes it worthwhile, seeing the people's happy faces and entertaining people is a great rush. It's so enjoyable.
That's amazing, man. And having that mindset where it's not about you, it's about the people that you're serving through your music and through your ability to entertain through DJing is what makes you an amazing DJ, and that what makes you, you know, you deserve to be in that craft and to be a DJ and hold that title. You know, one person came on the podcast and they say, like, they're proud to be able to have DJ in front of their name, because, you know, anyone could just say that they're a DJ, but to really own it and really be someone that cares about the craft and the skill, it's different, you know. And I could definitely see that you have that in you, and I appreciate you for what you do. Music has changed my life, and, you know, this opportunity to build a live streaming platform for the DJ community has been, you know, amazing for me to connect with so many different DJs that have taught me so much in the short amount of time I've been working with this platform. So, you know, thank you. I'm glad that we're connected.
On that note, I hear great things about your app, man. I do. I hear great things, and that's why I kind of wanted to be on it too, to be honest. I hear great things, man. So, congrats.
Thank you, brother. Hey, man, and we're in the beginning stages of the club, our app, and we're looking to really be a platform that adds value to the DJ community and help DJs transition their career to an online avenue where people can discover them, listen to them live stream, get booked right there on, and build relationships with other DJs and multiple audiences via live stream. And, you know, with this pandemic, you know, DJs have been put in a very hard position where a lot of clubs and venues are closed, and there are not many options to be able to serve their community and to be able to do what they love in a way where they can actually make money from it. So we're trying to create a community where you're able to not only, you know, entertain people, but also to make, you know, some money while doing it. So I thank you for your kind words. And, you know, this is really, really, really about all the DJs in the community and how can we solve problems and help one another, because I can't do this alone. This is not something that I would be able to just magically do without the DJ's input. So I thank all the DJs that have been supporting me in this process and helping us build the community together.
So getting back to what we were saying there a little earlier, the one piece of advice, honestly, that I would get anybody that, I mean, truly loves DJing and music and stuff like that is, and I say it to guys all the time, is, you know, like, it's not the gear you have. You don't have to have $10,000 light show. You don't have to have the best Pioneer gear. It's the music that does the heavy lifting. Know your music. That's the thing that does the work. And know it. Know how to put stuff together. Honestly, I started with a laptop. I can rock a crowd. Believe me, with a laptop. No controller, no tables, no nothing. But I can rock a crowd.
Awesome, brother. No,
you understand,
awesome.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, man.
You don't have to have a $3,000 controller. It's the music.
Yeah, man. You have to have empathy for the crowd. You know, you got to be able to feel what will make them move and be able to put that out with the music you play.
Anybody can play music, man.
Yeah.
Anybody can play some tunes. But, you know, putting sets together and actually entertaining people with that music is an art. You know, it is an actual art. You know, like, you know, I when I first got a controller, somebody came up to me, they're like, you know, this song on YouTube. And I looked at him and I went, this doesn't YouTube. You know, this doesn't YouTube. So that's the difference, man. If you're serious about DJing, learn everything you can learn.
Where do you recommend to people? Day. Yep, I was gonna say, where do you recommend to people to go to learn right now today? How do you learn?
How do I learn? I check out a lot of videos now. Although I'm a good DJ at playing music and stuff like that, as I said, I was poor, so I didn't have actual like turntables and stuff. It's only been in the last like 2 years, 3 years that I've actually been at a point where I can afford to get something like that. So I've only been scratching for like about a year and a half. So I go watch, actually, a friend of mine who's from Canada, Scratch Bastard, shout out my man. He has a thing on there called Scratch School where he teaches scratch cuts, how to drop beats on beats, that kind of thing. I learn a lot from that. I do. I learned a lot. I learn every day. I still learn. I read manuals at night when I go to bed. I don't even play games on my phone anymore. I read manuals and software stuff.
That's what you do, man. When you love something, you obsess over it. You just want to get better and better and better. That's the difference between the people that are mediocre and are great.
The young guys that I know, they're like, yeah, man, you want to go play some PlayStation? I'm like, man, I don't have time for it. I couldn't even play PlayStation anymore. I haven't touched a PlayStation since I got all this stuff. I wouldn't even know what to do with it anymore. I don't have time for that. I want to learn this. I want to be good at this. You know, this is what I love. Games are great, but it's a lot of waste of time as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, man, when you're passionate about something, your priorities shift. And that shift in priority is what makes a difference in your ability to succeed at it.
Yeah, determination and knowing what you want to go for. And when you get to that point where you're like, hey, I can start to make this happen, you know, for myself. Like, I always worked for somebody else for years and years, like 22, 23 of those 35 years, I worked for somebody else, never owned a piece of gear other than my music and my skills. So I always made somebody else money. I made money, but I didn't make money. So it's only been the last like 5-7 years that I've actually had gear and started investing in my actual self. And that's another reason why you want to get better. Once you start investing in yourself, you want to get better. You know, especially if you start seeing real progress, it drives you to get better.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing that I noticed about you in our brief conversation before we started recording was that you have a strong support system. You have people that you have in your corner that are here to support you. What influence have, you know, your friends, your family, and the people in your life had in your career, your passion for DJing?
Well, you know, look, if it wasn't for the lady in my life, I probably wouldn't have all the stuff I have right now, because she's understanding. She knows how passionate I am about it. But she also before I even got all the stuff, she was at, you know, 3 or 4 weddings. There was a wedding that I did last year that I took. It was an outdoor wedding that some DJ dropped out with 2 days notice. And it was in the people's backyard, and they called me and asked me if I'd do it. I took it on 2 days notice. They had 70 people in their backyard, and they had to go buy me to go to their cars out front at the end of the night. And everybody, I mean, everyone stopped at my table. If it wasn't for her seeing that and knowing how passionate I am and understanding that, you know, it's going to take time and I'm going to have to invest time. And I don't invest my 9-to-5 money in it. Everything I do DJing goes back into DJing. And then my 9-to-5 job money goes into my house, pays my bills, all that sort of stuff. Now, that being said, we need groceries. I'm going to buy groceries, obviously. But, you know, like, I try to turn the skills into the products that I need to do the stuff I want to do.
That's great, man. That's great. And it, you know, it pays for itself. So that way, you know, you're not investing your 9-to-5 money into it. It's actually making money and then kind of fueling itself, so you can kind of reinvest back into your own DJ business and DJ career. So that's truly amazing, man. I'm super, you know, happy to hear your story. I'm on this podcast. Thank you for being so open, transparent, and dropping dimes and helping people that are interested in DJing and progressing within their career. We're about to jump right into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Oh, probably.
Let's go. Get it. So describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Serato, DJ Flex 6, and a pair of CDJ 900.
Besides yourself, who is your favorite DJ?
Oh, jeez. I like Qbert.
What has been your favorite party or event that you've DJed at?
I would have to say the one I was talking about earlier, as a kid, at, you know, 18, 19 years old, DJing in front of 3,000 people for a local community event. That was pretty special at that time. I've done sound for a lot of pretty, you know, decently named individuals and stuff, but I'd say that would have been the best at that time. It was just kind of unheard of at that time.
What's one thing that you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Censorship, probably the most, probably because I've paid for all my music. I still have cuts off records on CD, you know, on my shelf that I actually took off record 30 years ago. So I paid for all my music. So censorship kind of hurts. I think there should be some kind of a, you know, forum where you can, at least have an avenue to make a case to live stream. You know, I just the blank, you know, the blank, just cut and dry thing. It's just, you know, kind of, it seems like a, you know, an infringement on your rights of freedom to express yourself to me.
Shout out DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Scratch Bastard, DJ Spin, my man. Let me guess, DJ IV. It's too many. Too many.
Awesome, brother.
Corey Jansen.
Where can people find you online?
People can find me online at Dave Solos, SOLLOWS, on Instagram, Facebook, You too.
Awesome, brother. Thank you so much for being on the My DJ Story podcast. This was an amazing story with amazing knowledge and gems dropped on the podcast. So I appreciate you. And thank you so much for coming on. It was great.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it. This was really fun.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.